with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Movie Night Podcast. I am TK Kelly here, as always, with my very debonair co-host, Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie and sit down with a special guest to talk about it into your brain with the help of Al Gore's amazing internet.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Al Gore. And today's special guest is my main man, my man 40 grand, Darren Carter, the party starter, also known as Daron. You know what I'm saying? You might have seen him on BET, The Tonight Show. The movie, is it Get Shorty?
Yeah, Be Cool.
Be Cool,
yeah.
The second Get Shorty. Yeah.
Get Shorty again Get was Shorty, the working title. The second
time. Get even shorter.
Yes, my very good friend in comedy, a guy who we've been hitting the L.A. scene and for the, like, we started in L.A. together. And
yeah.
Darren Carter is in the house, and I don't use sound effects, but here, this is for you, Darren.
Oh, nice. Oh, that is well deserved. How's it going, Darren?
Great. Thank you, TK. Nice to meet you. Was that from your last show, Dwayne? That was really nice.
Yeah, right.
Dwayne just constantly has that running in his head. All
right.
Just driving around LA in your car, like, I don't need you people. I got this applause button.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it is sad. I'm my own hype man. In my head, they can't mess with you, Dwayne.
So what's going on, Darren? What have you been up to, man?
Well, you know, I just got back from, I did a show in Bakersfield, and
stop bragging.
I know. You know what's great about, here's the thing about LA and traffic. Bakersfield, if the money's the same and I only have to be gone one night and it's a Friday night, which is what happened, I'd rather go to Bakersfield than San Diego. Like, when you first move here, you're like, heck no, San Diego, it's better. No. And Bakersfield, you get in your car, once you get past Magic Mountain, you're good to go, man. You got your music, you got the air blowing, it's great. It's
right.
San Diego might be like a 4-hour drive of stop-go traffic, your lower back hurts, you're like,
that's
gosh.
True. That sounds like a person getting older.
Who, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. This is just sound, rational decision-making.
You're right.
If you start the Bakersfield show with that, you like let them know, like, listen, I prefer to come here because it's a much easier drive.
In my mind, this is San Diego. Right. You're right, though, because you're right. 21-year-old Darren Carter would have been like, no, hell no, I don't want to go there. But, you know, once you hit your 40s, you're like, you know what, I can get there early.
Yeah.
You know, I can go to Buck Owens' Palace. He has that nice, you know, like, country honky-tonk diner. You know, I can get a, you know.
Right. And the thing is, Bakersfield, they have to be ready for that honesty. Because
they know what they are.
You can't be completely honest. Like, listen, let's be honest. This is no San Diego. But if you throw in the traffic, I mean, come on.
Come on, guys. You got the In-N-Out Burger off Lavelle Road. You got the Starbucks you guys just built. I love it here.
You guys just built.
You know? I mean, yeah, I used to just, this is, for me, before, you know, it was just a place to pee on the way to, like, San Francisco.
Yeah.
But now you're like, you know what? I can actually do gigs here.
That's
like
the
it.
Sign on their town when you enter the town. Welcome to Bakersfield, a great place to pee.
It's there's a joke in there somewhere. It's like England. Why? Because it's Bakersfield's European.
Right. Well, you know, the last time, not the
European,
last.
European, yeah.
Do they have a casino there, right? They have a casino, I believe. I think they do,
yeah.
There's
a
casino in every town in California.
Yeah. I think I did a casino in Bakersfield, and I was,
the people in the village.
Yeah, like I ate some food before the show or whatever, and I remember being in the bathroom. I don't know if I've told this story before, but I was like flossing and brushing my teeth, right?
Uh-huh.
Just getting ready for my show.
Yeah.
And some guy walks in and he sees me like brushing my teeth and flossing. He goes, what are you doing? Like, I'm, you know, flossing and brushing my teeth. And seriously, he's like, what are you, gay?
You can always turn to rural America for the most interesting definition of what gay is.
Yeah.
Queer with your teeth.
Dental hygiene. Look at this guy.
What do you put on deodorant? What's going on there? Yeah. No, I opened for Eddie Money there also, like in a small town, like
what?
30 minutes away called Taft.
And nice.
The same thing. They had a lot of like the you know, like missing teeth and stuff like that. And I asked.
But that's a meth thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Can we curse on here? Because I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what the I was hanging out with like the. It was actually someone who worked in the mayor's office. She goes, you know, the inside joke about Taft is. And I go, what? And she goes, Taft stands for they're all fucking tweaking.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. Okay.
And that was the mayor. You said.
I think it was like someone who worked in the mayor's office, or it was something to do with the mayor.
Wow.
I remember that.
That was someone whose job it is to promote Taft.
Yeah. They were the head of the tourism board in Taft.
It was a cool gig, though. You know, it's Eddie Money up there. You know, he was
That's crazy. What was that like?
It was on the back of a flatbed, like 18-wheeler. That's what it felt like. I think it was. It was like a stage they'd built. And there was like 4,000 people, and it was a street fair. It was like the 105th anniversary of Taft.
And did they pay you in money, or did they just give you two tickets to paradise? Like,
Dwayne was sitting on that one. I could see him getting all antsy. He was I got to get this out. That was good. It was good.
Yeah, he was like, we were both on a, you know, like on a downward spiral of our career. Like,
right,
Eddie Money is like, I need two tickets to Bakersfield. That was a good one. Yeah.
You know, Jason Gallone has this great Eddie Money joke when he
goes, what does he say?
Jason Gallone is one of my favorite comedians. He
goes, he's hilarious.
He says, I went to see Eddie Money the other day. And he goes, well, actually, I didn't go to see Eddie Money. I went to Six Flags, and Eddie Money was playing.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I didn't actually see him, but I could hear him from the bumper cars. It's just, that's just like,
Well, we love Eddie you, Money Eddie, if you're listening.
He kept it real, though, during his concert. He goes, take me home tonight. And then he stopped. He goes, seriously, I need a ride. Someone out there. Jason Gallone, you out there, buddy?
Right,
I'll take two tickets to literally anywhere. I've got nowhere to be.
Why am I crapping on him? It was a good concert. It was a good show.
No, I like Eddie Money.
Those are just easy jokes, you know.
It's easy jokes. But
also,
I mean,
let's be honest. I don't think Eddie's listening. But
I don't think
if he is, it's all in good fun.
I would love to work with Eddie, and I would love to be at a point where I could do a movie, and then like my dream is to assemble the soundtrack for a movie, and literally just pick everyone who I think deserves more, Like every rapper I think never got his just due. I'd ask him to do a song and throw it on the movie. Maybe even Eddie Money.
Maybe even Eddie Money.
Bring
him back.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, he's getting to that point where it's like nostalgia's coming around.
It's gonna be cool.
And now it's people are realizing how great his songs were. And he's popping up on, he's on some commercial, right?
He's on a Geico commercial.
I hope that happens to comedy, you know, where we get like, with like a resurgence of like, I grew up watching this guy when I was 9.
The reunion tour.
They hire you for something when they get married or something. That'd be kind of cool.
You would hope, but the thing with comedy is that they'll just take your jokes.
Yeah.
They won't bring you back. They'll just, some young kid will say the joke you said.
Yes, and then
15 years ago.
No,
it's a very depressing view of the world, Dwayne.
Yeah,
I expected more positivity.
But I know
you.
I'm saying it with a smile.
He's got a huge smile on his face. He's like, no, they're all gonna fuck us.
And that smile is great. It looks like you just brushed and flossed.
Queer.
Were you at West Hollywood?
And you know. And when that guy said that, right? When that guy accused me of being gay for having dental hygiene, my urge was to fight him to prove, what I mean? But I'm like, I'm evolved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was rage in me.
Was he just trying to be funny? Like, what are you gay? Like,
no, I think he was, I think he was okay with fighting. I think he was like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, anyone who's just going to openly accuse a stranger of being gay in a men's room, he's like, we're either going to fight or we're going to fuck right now.
Right,
it's happening.
Right.
I'm coming in this men's room for one thing.
Yeah. You are right. That's another option.
Yeah.
He's in Bakersfield. Maybe he's a gay guy in Bakersfield and
he's
doesn't know how to maneuver.
Maybe you took it as sarcasm and he was like genuinely like, are you gay?
Right, because I see you have dental hygiene.
Unrelated to the teeth thing. I just want to know if we can do something.
Maybe you had that Incredible Hulk blind rage. Like you went deaf all of a sudden because what he really said was, are you gay too?
You
didn't hear the two part. You're like, what? Oh, what the fuck? What are you trying? What the fuck, man? That guy can't brush his teeth and, you know.
Yeah. And you said the word rage and the movie.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The movie is Raging Bull.
Raging Bull this week.
Which,
1980, Martin Scorsese directed, starring Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and Kathy Moriarty. It is black and white. It is dark and depressing.
Oh, my God. And he becomes a stand-up comic at the end.
Oh, could that make more sense? Like,
right. It was like, of course.
His life spirals down to the worst that it can be, and he turns to stand-up comedy. That's the outside world's view of what we do. They're like, I mean, if you have literally nothing else, you can do this.
Right. If there's nothing else you can do, and you have any modicum of notoriety, why don't you just do stand up?
Hey,
like if
there's plenty of people doing it, there's
that
a lot
really
of
happens.
Guys. Oh yeah, there's a lot of guys doing clubs that you know they were on TV back in the '90s, and it's like that's not a stand up comedian, but people are like, what? Screech is doing stand up?
Yeah,
I'll be there.
Yeah, right. even though he's a great guy, Steve-O,
from
Jackass, just you know, a good guy, but not a comic, and he's like. you know, I once stapled my nuts to my legs. Why don't you come see me do stand-up? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, at least LaMotta was the heavyweight, like the world champion, middleweight, whatever. Yeah. He did more than staple his balls to his legs, so that's something.
Yeah, and he beat Sugar Ray. I mean, that's something.
Right. Yeah, so, there's wrestlers that are doing comedy now.
Oh, yeah, Rowdy Piper does it, right?
Yeah, and I saw on some webs. I saw at the Improv they had a... Mankind, I think his name is.
Oh, McFoley, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, he hosted one of the Axis comedy, Gotham comedy nights.
Those guys are performers.
Well, McFoley's a good, he's a solid storyteller. There's not a lot of structure to I wouldn't call them jokes. Yeah, it's mostly just stories about crazy shit that happened to
exactly.
him.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's fun. I don't like these people, but it's like, it's just another thing of like, I heard Jake the Snake is middling somewhere in Michigan. I went on some website and I was like, whoa.
Hey, but at least he's middling because a lot of these guys are
paying dues.
In headline.
Is the snake headlining?
At least he's middling. So, now, Darren, you picked this movie, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you did, because I don't think I'd ever sat down and watched the full movie. I think I'd seen bits and pieces of it, so it was good to watch. And why did you pick it?
You know, it's one of those movies, like, I've always heard about it, and you hear references. I knew, like, Bobby Slayton had a CD called Raging Bully, and you just hear Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, and I hear it in references, And I was one of those movies. I'm like, you know, this will be good. I want to get something that you've heard enough about where you're like, you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to be a certain quality, like as opposed to, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, why did I waste my time watching this?
Yeah.
Like,
this is so that 2 hours. Like, so had you never seen this before?
I'd never seen it.
Oh, that's
before,
great.
Ever.
So like, what did you think? What are your thoughts on generally? How'd you feel about it?
Generally, my thoughts are this. I don't know, man. I didn't think it was that great. Like, I thought that there was definitely some things that were, you know, good about it, and I definitely like thought it. On a scale of 1 to 10, like let's say I just seen The Wrestler like for the first time a month ago, and that movie really stuck with me. I'm like, wow, like when he had to get that job at the grocery store, and really connected
very
to those
movie.
Scenes where, you know, he's like trying to, you know, I think they improvised it where he's like joking with people. And
by the way, just as an aside, I watched a De La Hoya fight at Mickey Rooney's house once.
Wow.
Did he try to fight you? Did he catch you flossing your teeth?
Wait, I got a better question. Was Mickey Rooney home?
Dwayne was watching it through the living room window.
Right. I'm not name dropping. I guess I am, but let's just continue with the name dropping. I was hanging out with Dane, right? Dane Cook one night, and we were trying to order the De La Hoya fight, but we couldn't get through. And so then, like, it went crazy. Like, you know, because I know Dane from Boston. And then, like, Dane's publicist was like, let's go to Mickey's house. And we're like, what? And Mickey's got the fight. Let's go over to Mickey's house. And Dane lives close enough. We walk to Mickey. And then we walk in, and it's Mickey Rooney's house.
Wow.
And it's just, like, his apartment he had or whatever. And it was just me, Dane Cook, Dan Smith, Dane's publicist, and Mickey Rooney. Just five of us watching the De La Hoya fight.
That's awesome.
I assume you're talking about Mickey Rourke, right?
Yeah, I'm saying Rooney. I'm sorry.
I'm like, you were sitting boxing with a 95-year-old, 4-foot-tall man.
I did that a lot. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was thinking that. I'm like, I thought he was talking about Mickey Rourke because of the wrestler.
Thank you.
But I was worried that I was like making assumptions.
No. It was Mickey Rourke. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and keep picturing it as Mickey Rooney because it's hilarious.
And I apologize to all white people. I really do. And I don't. That's why I never get mad when a white person messes up a black name, because I'm like, listen, dude,
you're all Mickey Rooney to me.
So anyway, Mickey Rourke, he was a good guy. We just watched a fight, and I remember he, for a second, I thought maybe he thought he was fighting because he kept spraying his face. That was the only weird thing he did. Like with
spraying
some kind of
his face?
It was either water or toner.
He's got to try and keep his face
just
on.
Just a spray bottle. Like he would just spray. And I was trying to see if there was a pattern. Like, is he spraying his face in between rounds? Like, what's happening here?
He used to box. Maybe that was like
his
box.
He so he got the that really messed up.
Maybe
his face.
Maybe it's his way to wake himself up. Like coffee. Like, you know.
And I think the wrestler. I see what you're saying. With the, I think. Since this movie is like, what, 80, 1980, 81, 80?
Yeah.
I think it's like,
it was, 80,
it's on the cusp, Raging Bull's on the cusp of like, those 70 movies didn't have to be.
Exactly.
They didn't have to be short.
They didn't need like a real tight narrative. Like,
right.
The Wrestler's a very good, like, very narrative story. This is definitely on the tail end, especially Scorsese
biopic.
Movies back then, where it was like, you know, Taxi Driver.
Right.
What, All right, whatever. I'm forgetting the name of the first one he did with Harvey Keitel, but whatever. So they were very, they were much looser movies. They weren't, they were long and sprawling. It was more a story of the person and not a particular story. They all hinged so much on the performance, and that's what this movie is to me. It's like tons of great performances, but yeah, it's not like a straight up like beginning, middle, end that you're going to be satisfied with.
Yeah, and I felt like, I mean, I know it's a movie where they have to like, they're, you know, they got to edit and make things. I felt like they would just sort of give you a little look, you know. And then he got into a big fight with his brother and they didn't talk again. So, like, they got to kind of rush that scene a little bit. Like,
yeah, they blast through a lot. They cover so much time.
I understand, but yeah.
They also blow through the best years of his life. Like, all the good years where he was kicking everybody's ass coming up and where he was first married with Vicky and the kids and he was happy. Yeah. They just show that all as, like, a, you know, a little camcorder tape, like the beginning of the Wonder Years. And then they went, like, all right, here's where it all went to shit.
Right,
it was like, let's
right.
focus on that, which I get for dramatic reasons, but it was kind of sad that it was like, damn, this guy had like, he had a decent run somewhere in the middle there. He was doing
all right. Yeah, and there was definitely like a good, like in my mind, like, well, first of all, I watched it late at night and I, you know, it was actually last night because I wanted to be fresh in my mind and like, and I noticed like in the beginning, I kept looking at the time like, oh man, how much, man, this is a long movie.
Yes, I did the same thing. Then, and then by the end, you're in.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, there was like a good 45 minutes there where I was like, wow, I haven't checked the time in like 45 minutes. Like I was really in, you know, and then again, I'm watching it on an iPad. Maybe, you know, it's different than in a real theater or something
right, whatever.
But it was, I definitely say it was really good, but I
know what you mean.
Know, some of the the spout yelling and all that stuff. It was like you said. It was tense and like
it was,
you know, like,
just so uncomfortable and so relentless.
Yeah.
Where he would be like, he'd be prodding at somebody, and you're sitting
so jealous
there feeling
them,
like he's prodding at you because you're like, oh god, this is about to go so
bad. Did you screw her, Vicky?
Yeah.
Did you screw her? And you're just like,
well, that's you know, well, that's the thing I took from a few things is like, each the movie is long, right? But then there's scenes that could stand on their own. Like, there's scenes you can watch without even having a context of what the scene was. There's several scenes, a lot of scenes you could just, and that's, it's almost like the scenes are shot as if they don't fit into anything else. That's why they're so long in a moment. Like he treated each scene like it was a movie unto itself.
Yeah.
And then, but then you end up with a really long movie because of it. And as I'm watching, I think the two thoughts I had is one, and I get the boxing scenes weren't supposed to be really like, choreographed boxing scenes. They're just more like what happened.
Just two guys beating the piss out
of each other.
No defense.
No one blocked a punch back in the 50s.
That was a dangerous amount of punches landed in this movie.
No one ducked. No one. It was like, I punch you, you punch me. And no one answered a question directly.
Yeah.
Like no one, like, and I guess that would.
I think that was like, I noticed that too. Everybody avoided all the questions.
Right, right.
And I think that was to add to the discomfort because part of you was like, oh, if you would just answer him, if you just give him the answer he wants, this could go away. But they're all like, no, fuck you. I'm not going to give you the answer.
Did you fuck
want.
Vicky? I'm not answering that. I'm not giving that respect of answering that. Come on.
And then her telling him, like, she flips out and just says, yeah, I fucked everybody. Like, that, is that what you want to hear?
Yeah. That, like, that was a good scene when he was like, when she's like, I fucked, or when the brother, Joe Pesci said, you know, why don't you kill everybody? Kill Tommy, kill this person, kill me.
That was great.
What do you mean you? Why did you put yourself in there?
He was a mental.
Why did you put
just
you in there?
Warped everything.
He was so, like, not smart, but then so brilliantly smart. Like,
But like, he was so paranoid. Yeah, he was so paranoid.
So, that part was really good where you're like, you should have paranoia.
Why'd you say you could have said this to them, but you
why'd you put yourself in the group with them? Like,
you could have said everybody.
It's like, all right, well, that you might be reading a little too much into it, dude.
But I think, too, is that we have to assume or imagine that they answered him before and they're tired of answering him now.
Yeah, well, this guy is, he just browbeats everybody in his life.
Yeah.
Until, because he's determined, like the part where he's sitting at the pool, I thought was the best look into his character. He's sitting at the pool when it's pouring out. And his brother Joey comes and he asks him why he looks upset. And he says, oh, I remember when I met her here. And you think it's going to be like the one moment where he's like, he feels bad for all the shit he's done. And then he just says, I just want to catch her once. Just once.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all I need. And it was like, why do you want this? You're fucking,
because
crazy.
And deep down, he wants that to be the truth.
Yeah.
And
that's where you know, like, he's not going to let anything in his life ever work. It's never going to work out because he won't let it. But that was, I like the point about the boxing scenes too, though, because if you watch it compared to like a more modern movie about boxing, it's, they have to kind of acknowledge this was more like the Rocky style of boxing where they just it was just beating the shit out of each other.
And some of those
all face
because they just wanted the feeling of them. Like if one guy won, he really won, and if one guy lost, he really lost.
But it's like if you watch boxing and then you watch this movie, you're like, these people should all be dead after this fight. Like, this is just relentless.
And did you notice like a lot of the punches were like looked like they were 5 inches away?
Oh
like,
yeah,
the
they definitely were not
like, an artistic thing, I guess, or they go like that and they go.
Yeah, it was like it was.
Well, it was super artsy. Even the every fight scene looked like it was shot in like an indoor pool at a hotel.
Yeah,
like there was always this weird mist coming up from everywhere.
Yeah. It felt like I was watching like Sin City. I don't know if that's noir
a little bit.
Or
yeah,
what.
Yeah.
Like those scenes.
Yeah, it was a little noir when everything was stylized. Everything was over the top. Like when they when he got punched and his blood hit. Like,
they would show it like squirting.
It was
like
a gallon of his blood hitting people in the front row. And it was like
that was all really tough. That part.
I read online like the Scorsese got the idea by watching some real matches. Like to have like blood dripping from the ropes, you know. Like I guess that he really saw that, or he saw a little bit of that, and he thought, "Oh, I can use that like to really show how violent the sport is."
Well, the thing is, like because he didn't focus on one thing, you got a nice movie with great acting and the Vicky character, Kathy Moriarty. She's super hot, like a young. Like a pre Sharon Stone before Sharon Stone kind of
was she 15 when he met her though, or was his brother exaggerating? Because I was confused
she did
by that.
Not look
I was
15.
Like, first of all, holy shit! But second of all, if he just told you she's 15, you got to back off. You can't marry
Things
her 2 years
back
later.
Then, though, I think
I know. Like, oh yeah, for like sure. I mean, they were probably she was probably married by 17.
Like I know Jerry Lee Lewis was. I think married to his second cousin by she was like 12, and then I know Elvis Presley
so
met Priscilla at
14. Yeah, she was really
young. But that was common, like the Priscilla Presley, like he would you know meet the parents and hang out, and it was
I guess
a thing back then.
I think
you know?
I put it in terms of like, oh my God, she's this age in high school, but it's like some people, a lot of people didn't finish school back then. It was mostly after high school, it was like you were immediately married anyway.
Right,
so. But it was uncomfortable to think about that.
You're right,
but also wow, that was she was pretty built for a 15 year old.
She was built. She was sexy. Too, and everything was like, I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know. Like when before they hook up, like even that, like that was a good tension because it wasn't like all the other scenes. You're like, he's gonna beat her, he's gonna beat her, and this is so uncomfortable. But before they hooked up, it was like. It was like the way kids hook up, but it was just more charged. You know?
It was very tight. Like,
you want to go
for a ride?
Want to go for a ride? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, let's go for a ride. It was just sort of like
there's
like,
something menacing. There was something very menacing about the way they flirted. Like,
Where he's like, sit on the bed. No, sit. And they'd sit, and then they'd.
And then he pours ice water all over his dick.
Yeah. Right, because
this was pretty twisted.
That was the version of, you know, take a cold shower. I guess that's what they used to do back then.
But the thing is, like the story with him and her.
Yeah.
This movie could just be about that. Or it could just be about him and the brother, that relationship, or just about him and the wise guys who he won't get a title shot until he deals with them. And you got to take a fall. Like, how corrupt boxing is and was, that's a whole thing you could explore. Like,
this
you've got to
very...
take a dive before you can get a title shot.
Also, I kind of like the part about, you know, where he gets older and he's retired and he's, you know, owns a nightclub. It's like the way he was acting. Cause I mean, that's the way that you would think. Cause we've seen club owners act that way. And you've also, and you're like, you know, when I was younger, I would fantasize like, if I had a nightclub, I'd get all the girls. Like, remember when he was like, how old are you? You're 21. They prove it to me. And then he'd make out with them. And how about you? Let me check your ID. And he'd make out with them. And it was like, I'm the king of the world at this little nightclub. And then boom. You know, the cops are like, hey, this 14-year-old girl, and you set her up with guys. And...
That was a complete extortion move, too. Yeah. Like, they completely set him up.
Yeah. I
didn't realize that until you said that. Yeah.
It was a very, very broad biographical movie. Like, it was from, like, beginning of his adulthood till the end.
Yeah.
You know, like, I agree. Right. You could have focused on any of those relationships, but it was just, we got to cover it all. It was,
you know, I remember
Scorsese does that. He did that with The Aviator, too.
Yeah.
You know, he covers the long, long picture of
it. And Pesci was great. And, you know, being from New York, the Italian thing was like, oh my God, like, I know all these guys, you know?
You know, what's funny is I remember, because I grew up in Fresno, I started in, you know, in San Francisco doing my comedy, but I used to, do Fresno a lot, like when I go visit my, you know, relatives, and I'd get to, you know, open and feature there back in the, you know, the early 90s. And his name is Jake LaMotta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he came to the club one night. And
oh, wow.
Because the guy at that time that owned the comedy club was also like the, his name is Ray Appleton. And he owned like, he was like a big talk show host in Fresno. And I guess he did a show that day. And then he's like, come by the club that night. So I didn't really, I knew he was a famous guy, and I knew he was a boxer, and they mentioned Raging Bull, but that's all I knew about him. And it was kind of like, now looking back, I'm like, wow, I wish I had seen that movie at that time, and I could be like, wow, you're Jake LaMotta, like, that's so cool. Can we get a picture or something? But
he's still alive.
Yeah, I guess he lives in Bisbee, Arizona. Little town, you know, Doug Stanhope also lives there in Bisbee.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know the name of that town, and that's where I know it from.
I've heard Joe Rogan talk up to Doug, and he's like, dude, I want to go to Bisbee just because I know, like, Jake LaMotta's been in your house.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I think they're like neighbors or something. Right? I remember hearing Stanhope tell a story about Jake LaMotta coming over to his house.
I guess it's a small town, and LaMotta is probably like 90 now, right? 91 or something, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The story was about how he's up there. He doesn't really have his wits about him much. But he also, if he got hit half as much as De Niro did in this movie, I get it. You're not going to have your wits about you very long. Let's launch into these games while we have a little bit of time. All right, so the first one that we're doing is, these are Dwayne's calls, recast with today's movie stars. So if you wanted to remake this movie, don't do it. But nobody's touching a Scorsese film while he's still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you had to pick today's stars, so Dwayne, you want to lead it off?
I was going to try to be funny about it, but then I just funny about it.
What was your funny answer?
I didn't even write a funny answer because I was like, well, I guess I was gonna say it may be not even be that funny. I was gonna do something with Chris Brown and Thor. You know,
I know you're saying.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, you know, and then
we get it. No need to. So,
like I said, it wasn't, you know. So I thought Channing Tatum, is that this guy's name? He's done some fighting kind of things. He's in shape.
When you said Shanley, I thought of Gary Shanley. I don't know why.
Gary Shanley as Jake LaMotta. That would be great.
So him as the boxer, Dave Franco as the brother.
Yeah.
So the younger Franco.
Mm-hmm.
And then this chick with the really big eyes, because I really like her, Amanda. I don't know how to say her last
Seyfried.
Name. Seyfried. Seyfried, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's really... I think she would... I don't know. I could see her... I just like... Maybe just because I think she's pretty. And the boss was the guy in the movie. The real boss was, Coach from Cheers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would have Chaz Palminteri play the boss. And then all the wise guys would be the cast of Jersey Shore. Like,
So very serious.
But they would also be...
Snooki.
It would be them as the wise guys. But then the second question as the reality show, then would just be all them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would, you know, take out Channing Tatum and Franco and just put in the Jersey Shore cast.
I like it. Anything that you can get the full Jersey Shore cast in, I'm on board with that.
I like it.
So I had, for Jake LaMotta, I actually wanted to do Christian Bale. I want to play him when he's young because Christian Bale's really good at yelling at people.
Right.
And not just yelling at the key grip or whatever. Right. But he's great in movies. When he gets angry with people, it's like, oh, you feel it. You believe it. Mm-hmm. And then as old Jake LaMotta, I wanted to be Andrew Dice Clay because it feels like almost did. Like LaMotta's act in that movie reminded me of Dice. It was very lyrical. He did kind of sing-songy stuff. I think that'd be funny to see. And then Joey is Jonah Hill. But I want him to have the teeth that he has in Wolf of Wall Street. I want to keep the teeth. And then Vicky Scarlett Johansson, just because I also...
Oh,
this character reminded me of her character in Don John.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she could just play the same person.
Over-the-top New York accent.
Yeah. Darren, what do you think, man?
You know what? I don't know actors a lot, so I can't really play along on this, but I like what you guys said. That was great.
Go with comedians. How about comedians?
Yeah. Comedians. Okay, definitely. I was watching this, and I was thinking Joey Diaz definitely has a look. You know, he has
yeah,
a
yeah.
Look.
Oh, yeah.
He's Cuban, but he looks Italian. He's from New York, and he's kind of a rough guy.
Yeah, cocksucker.
He's definitely, I could see him... You know, like, he's definitely that guy that you could put him in any scene in that movie. And he could be a guy at the pool. He could be a guy at the
just
clubhouse.
Everyone.
So you want him Joey to play Diaz, every
like,
character?
It'll be like the Nutty Professor of Joey Diaz's career.
Like the clumps.
Well, let's say this. We're all entertainers. Like, if we were to cast ourselves, like what would you guys be? Like, who would I be in that movie? Would I even be in that movie?
I'd be the guy in the front row that got covered in blood. That's what.
Yeah. I feel like
I'd be in that.
That's
movie.
All the range I have at the
I'd
moment.
I'd be the brother. But
one of the boxers.
But I could be LaMotta. Like if it was a black cast, I could be you know, people wouldn't like seeing me like that.
If it was a black cast.
People would be like, oh, no, Dwayne, don't hit her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I would, like, all the hitting parts would be off camera. Where I would just, like, raise my hand and then we'd cut. And then hit her.
The deleted scenes or whatever that they'd show you, like, flossing before the...
It'd be much more refined.
Well, how about the drinking game? Because I know we don't have too much time.
Let's do the drinking game. So just figure out a way to make this movie into a drinking game. For example, I have every time you think someone's life is in very serious danger at the hands of Jake LaMotta, his brother, anybody,
that's good.
You're going to get shit-faced probably in the first hour or so, really.
Yeah. I said every time a boxer doesn't block a punch or move out of the way at all.
So you're trying to get the same amount of brain damage they got?
Yeah. You will have alcohol poisoning pretty fast.
Every time they take a drink, you take a drink.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they drank quite a bit.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look at that. Just pinpoint timing right
there. Having fun, yes.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Let's talk about what do you have coming up, Darren? Anything you want
to
plug?
You know what? Go to DarrenCarter.com. It's DarrenCarter. And also on Twitter. I'm very active on Twitter, at Darren Carter is how you find me on Twitter. And I'm hitting Hyenas in Dallas, Hyenas in Fort Worth. I got that new club that they just opened in Phoenix called House of Comedy. And speaking of San Diego, I'll be at the Madhouse. But you know what? Just go to my website. All the tour dates are there. And I got a couple albums on iTunes. And my third one's going to be dropping. It's called, like instead of Stay at Home Dad, it's called Stay at Home Stripper.
Nice.
Yeah. I like it.
You know me, Funny DP on Twitter. My book, Hot Chocolate for the Mind, is still available out there. And I'm going to be at Brad Garrett's room in Vegas last weekend of July. And
cool.
Morty's in Indiana in August.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, and in a couple weeks I'm going to be heading out for a little West Coast tour with a couple of other guys who work over at Tosh.0, not Daniel, but we're going, so look out for us in like Seattle, Denver, Vegas, Boise, kind of all over the place, but yeah, check my website, tkkellycomedy.com. As always, thanks for tuning in, guys. Darren, thanks for being here, man. That was a lot of fun.
Gallagher would be Jake LaMotta.
That's the best way to end any podcast ever. Gallagher would be Jake LaMotta. That's it, guys. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.